We're going to continue our series on from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. And we've been talking about the names that Isaiah gives to the Lord Jesus. We've covered he is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. And this morning we talk about him being Prince of Peace. A lot of talk today about peace, especially during this time of year. That's kind of when you hear it all the time, isn't it? You know, everybody starts talking about world peace and peace on earth and, you know, piece of pie. But there's always like this, you know, this whole emphasis on peace, and our politicians, a lot of times, will run on a platform of promising peace, promising world peace and stuff like that. And I always have to laugh when a politician says, "Hey, you know, we want to bring the world together and have world peace." I think, yeah, that ain't happening. Not until the Lord Jesus comes. When he comes again, there will be peace. But until then, there won't be. Because we look around our world today, and you see there's just violence everywhere. There's violence and conflicts in Israel and Sudan and Syria and Egypt. And even here in the U.S. with lone wolf attackers, the rising murder rate in the inner cities. And the increasing of the racial divide that's swept our nation in the last years or so. It just seems like the racial tension has gotten worse. Just the other day, I was reading about a Catholic priest who wasn't going to put out a nativity scene because it offended the Muslims.
We will be looking at it. I think, why would that offend the Muslims?
They believe Jesus was a prophet. Why would they?
Now I know what you're thinking.
Why would they be offended?
You want to show the world that you are a God.
We live in a country of the easily offended.
And you're right.
It seems like now we live in the country of the easily offended. If you wish somebody a Merry Christmas,
it was a manger. Okay, well, let's go with that. So he was look at it from the manger to the mission to the millennial reign.
You
say, well, the manger really wasn't a manger. It's more like a huge house.
We live in a country now where we live in the easily offended. We have to save zones for our children and stuff like that. There is no peace in people's hearts.
So as we look at this,
there's no peace in this world because there's no peace in
people's hearts. Luke chapter 2, we read part of it, but we want to read the first part.
Webster has a definition.
Luke chapter 2. And then we're going to pop over
Webster has a definition of peace. And this is Webster's definition. It says a state of tranquility, or quiet,
in the cradle,
freedom from civil disturbance,
a
state of security,
or
order within a community provided for by law.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. You sent an army to attack Jehoshaphat. It says, in those days, an army went out from Caesar Augustus.
The absence of world should be conflict. The absence of
this was the first registration with Gradius was governor. They're looking at
freedom,
and all went to be registered
from civil disturbance
to his
own town.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth,
you know,
to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem.
I think everybody wants peace.
Because he was of the house of lineage of David.
Can't wait to be,
registered with Mary,
with
his betrothed. Right.
I think we all want
it.
We want.
And while they were there,
peace.
The time came for her to give birth. And she
they're looking
birth
to the wrong
to take
first,
a by firstborn
woman,
son,
peace.
And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
Our Awana kids,
because there was no place for
several weeks, we've been teaching them about.
And
the
so
creation.
As we look at Jesus here in the manger, the people show the world all
sin entered
into the miracle of his incarnation. Now,
there
if
was
you turn to
peace
Matthew chapter 1,
between God and man.
You look
and
at
there
your
was
miracle,
peace between man
says,
and woman.
Meditating
and there was peace between man and animals.
Of leaped
and between
off
the animals
you
and
know
the animals.
You
and between, between
it,
man and the
tell
earth.
Over again,
but
God
once sin came in, all that disappeared.
This was one of them.
Now there was conflict between man and God. Man hides from God.
In the narrative,
and now God says, where were you? So
when you read scripture, shepherds were shallow in the narrative on the socioeconomic. So I want you to think about it from Joseph.
It was the woman, so now there's conflict between the man and the woman. And by the way, that hasn't ended.
So this is where God comes. And so in Matthew chapter 1,
it's still there.
It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this
time
to the shepherd. When his mother Mary had
been
betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child.
How do you
find the Holy Spirit? Notice how Matthew adds
that
right there, that the angel comes to the shepherds and he gives a word of comfort. She gives a word of comfort. It says, and her husband Joseph,
all that was brought in,
willing,
by
to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly.
Savior has been born.
But as he considered these things, behold, the angel says,
I bring to you good news,
a child is born,
great joy
that
Joseph, son of David,
is born
to you. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, who is Christ the Lord. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
Mighty God, everlasting
First comfort
Father,
is in Prince, the initial bear son. It comes to this, remember, Jesus.
When the angel appears to the shepherds, before he will save his people from their sin.
Boy, I can't wait
now,
for that
place.
This is one of those passages of Scripture where the prophet is talking about, you know, kind of two different time areas.
Oh, hey, cool, angel.
He did as
he was God.
We
commanded. Now, is he doing well? He took his wife.
I don't think any of us would be that counselor. He's this miraculous
advisor
that came. Everything about him was miraculous.
The first word of the encounter between Joseph and the angel is quite fascinating to me.
All of it was
the miracle of his incarnation.
Miraculous. And he is our counselor.
You look at the whole scene and
then
put yourself in it. I want you to put yourself in the position of
great joy.
You're a young man now.
He's also mighty God.
He's
almighty in creation and salvation and sanctification.
He doesn't touch
your
lady. Maybe he is married as a second
coming. And then last week we covered him as everlasting Father. He is the one that is the Word that existed before creation.
Early 20s.
He was in complete harmony with God.
And so there may have been about 10 years between them, but he was looking for a bride. As he looked around, he found this word, and there's no doubt in my mind that he enjoyed it.
That's all review. So today we talk about him as our Prince of Peace, and I just want to give some definitions. First of all,
the
word
process, right?
It simply means
not just
ruler,
some,
captain,
this
master,
that
chief.
The angel was bringing her
any
shepherd,
title,
and they agree
you want
price,
to put on someone
it's not just
who is in charge
or
is the head.
The intellectual,
and
he's got a glass
so,
it's not just for the down and outers, it's
by definition, you're a prince in your home.
A certain race of people,
that's
for everyone.
Say, wait a minute, I thought I was kidding.
So she took the wine,
sorry,
because Jesus.
By the
Mary,
way, some people say that to refer to Jesus as Prince of Peace
was
and
like
not King of Peace
is
a demotion that puts him lower than God.
Was.
And that's not true because
the
word simply means
at the end,
ruler or head. And so Prince is just fine. So the question then is, what is he ruler of?
So during that time, during that time of betrothal,
and the word
she
peace there is
a shalom,
and it's a, it
so
can mean a variety of things.
But then he also brings
from
his
good
hopes
Christ
and his dreams
to
of this beautiful young lady,
Runtia,
who is born this day
down
the city
so
of David,
if you look at
the
Savior,
found,
Jesus
who is
the head
Christ
of
the
peace.
Lord.
He's the ruler.
So he's not just saying,
peace.
Hey, don't be afraid, bring him good news, don't worry about it. He's not telling him, like, hey, this is good news, we're going
to
have great weather tonight. I want you to know, while Joseph is meditating, he's got really
we see that
he
has
a couple things he had to deal with. First of all, he had to deal with pressure society.
He's
bringing no doubt his friends
we have
going,
to go
wow,
to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, turn to
Washington, this was their Messiah. They were looking
at on your iPhone, whatever you want to do.
So he's bringing this message to them.
If you put up with that, man, they're
your
Redeemer, they're Christ, and there was pressure from society. Their Messiah.
Then I think there was his own hurt.
Bring good news. And sense of
great
joy,
joy,
and that news
that he was
wrestling
Singer
with.
In chapter 5,
so
he
while
is
he had both
the reconciler.
And obviously, in that,
Christ.
He had a love for Mary.
Read
2
Corinthians
5, really love her,
16 to 21. Thank you, Jerry, for reading
David,
it. And,
they would have
Sunday
known,
school,
he may have known,
appreciate
decides,
that.
As he's wrestling this, he comes
when
to decision,
to that,
I'm
going,
just
going
to
okay,
where she's supposed to come from. The line
love her.
So he is the reconciler. What a great passage this is. And by the way, I have to kind of rein me in. Please rein me in a little bit this morning because this first point, I could spend the whole time just on this.
I really have no proof.
And I hope we never get over
it. No, he says, here's the proof. I want you to know.
As far as I hope it's always fresh before you.
He goes on
to
verse 12. He says, this will be a sign for you.
It's just like, we never get over it.
You will find the baby wrapped
in this passage should always
meditate on lying in a manger.
If it doesn't light your fire.
So he's saying, listen, I'm bringing you great news. This news is about a Savior.
He says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. In other words, we don't look at people the same way anymore. We used to look at people through the eyes of our flesh, but now we see people differently because now we're in Christ. Now we see people through the lens of God, through His eyes.
So
from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh or earthly way, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. In other words, we don't look at Christ that way. We don't look at him as just a failed leader who was crucified by the Romans.
He likes to let us get into a Christless decision.
He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Us to wrestle,
I think Satan tries to deceive people every day
sometimes,
in this area. Trying to say, really, you're really a new creation?
No,
I don't think you're a new creation. Look, you're still doing this. You're still doing that. You're doing this. You're not a new creation.
Him.
That's hubbub.
And the wrestling,
right? Does Satan attack you that way?
When Sharon and I were at a point,
okay, no one's going to tell the truth anymore, right? Yes! He does attack you that way. He wants to make us think we're still the old man.
And everything.
And yet the scripture says no. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And he says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation.
We're going to get all the lights on.
Therefore, if we are, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making an appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You can just hear the Apostle Paul writing. He's so excited that we're now ambassadors
while we do this.
He
said, the very next morning,
I want to make an appeal to him
into a dark world. And it was Franklin Graham with an offer.
He came into a dark world.
Because that's where peace starts.
So, hey, we got your resume.
We can't have peace without being reconciled.
He came in to our son Joel called and said, hey, send a resume down to the very dark world where those people.
He goes on, he says, for our sake, he made him to be sin, and you know sin.
You know, I think there's a time when we have to get to a crisis of decision where we're really seeking the Lord.
And so he is the reconciler.
To our family members.
Reconciliation.
He's not always across the extremes around the world.
Reconciliation means it's the divine work of redemption, denoting that act of redemption insofar as God himself,
by
taking upon himself our sin and becoming an atonement, establishes that relationship of peace in mankind, which he demands of his justice.
The demands part of the incarnation, the miracle of the incarnation, is twofold. You have the human side, which we've just reviewed.
That's more confusing.
Then you have
else.
The deity side.
That's what the definition
God
of reconciliation
and for that
is.
We go
look
to
it
Hebrews
up
1.
In the Greek. This is what this Hebrews is the definition 1. Of it. It's used of the divine work of redemption, denoting the act of redemption insofar as God himself, by taking upon himself our sin and becoming an atonement, establishes
like
that relationship of peace with mankind, which
actually, I don't know how it sounds.
Justice have hitherto prevented.
In other Hebrews words, chapter 1, I just want
God
to read this because it's so good. Actually, I thought, well, what
and
part do I
justice
use? And I thought, oh,
demands.
It says, long ago and many times and in many ways,
just,
God spoke to our fathers by the prophets.
It has to be that.
But in these last days,
if
he has spoken to us by his
for
Son,
sin, he wouldn't be
whom
just.
He appointed the heir of all
think
things,
about this.
Through
think about,
whom also he created the world.
Someone breaks into your mother's house.
He is the radiance of the glory of God,
okay,
the exact imprint of his nature.
And violently kill her.
The universe by the word of his power.
And
after
and
making purification
the perpetrator
for sins, he sat down at the right
and
hand
brought
of
the before
the
judge.
High, having
and
become
the judge
as much
sits there
superior
and
to
now
the angel,
you know
angel,
justice is that this person be found guilty
he has
and either locked up or the death penalty and they're
for
killed.
For to which of the
life,
angels
kind of
did God ever say?
That would be justice. They get what they
son.
Deserve. So you don't want a judge that's going to look at this guy and go, you know, this guy is 30 years old.
Just those verses alone.
For 29 of his years, he helped little old ladies.
If anybody had a doubt that Jesus was God,
he delivered cookies to people. He did so many good things.
And
because of all the good things he did,
they just don't trust Scripture.
It's going to outweigh this one.
He goes on
and
says, or again,
so I'm just going to let him off.
I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
You feel like
and again,
like
when he brings the firstborn
right?
into
you know,
the world,
like somebody
he
got
says,
the judge, right?
"Let
there,
all
that
God's
be
angels
just.
Worship him." By the way,
correct?
Do you know Jesus is the only one the angels worshiped?
And so God, because we have sinned, we've violated, you know,
born,
his holiness. Because he's just, he has to punish sin.
Don't you know that?
So here's where reconciliation comes
you know,
in.
So, sorry,
so instead of God punishing us, he's got to punish our sin. So Jesus steps in and says,
"The angels did not worship."
Anyway. I'll take the punishment. So he takes the punishment at the cross. What? That God's justice demanded. He takes the punishment for us.
Sorry.
He makes atonement for us.
The scripture said Father,
therefore,
Son,
satisfying the wrath of God, therefore atoning for our sin.
This is
going to
cost me a lot.
And therefore making the way for reconciliation between us and God. The definition
she told me
goes
when,
on,
we were, when she was younger that
this,
every time I used her as an
illustration. It says this word implies that God has laid aside
okay,
and withdrawn.
But of the
wrath.
Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever
so
and ever.
So in other words,
the scepter of, right, of uprightness
his
is the scepter
Jesus,
of your kingdom.
Aside
you
from
have
us.
Loved righteousness and hated
so
wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed
now
you
we
with
can
the
be
oil of gladness beyond your
dominion. One with God again.
And
because our sin
he
has
also
been paid for.
You, Lord,
so
laid the foundation of
the
earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will pass,
or the predecession, or the prerequisite, whatever you want to call it.
They will all wear out like a garment.
Reconciliation has to come before
peace.
You cannot have peace without reconciliation.
And your years will not have no end.
This is weird, and it doesn't apply. I mean, I'm not. This is a hypothetical situation.
So
if it applies to you, I wasn't thinking of you at the time. Okay, so let's say, you know, you're there in your house, and, you know, you got your yard and everything, and a new neighbor moves in, and they are loud at night, and they're playing loud music,
and so here we see both sides of the coin.
And then you find out later on,
we see the humanity and the birth of Christ,
and you've been cordial to
the
neighbor back and forth and everything like that.
And so
we
see the miracle of the incarnation
in their house, and there's a lot of us,
a lot of
the neighborhood and stuff like that.
We
find that out. So what do? Well, you call the cops and turn them in, and they get arrested.
But it's easy to
believe. So is there peace now
so
between
you and
your neighbor?
So then we look at the miracle of his birth.
There's peace
the
in the neighborhood because they're
in chapter
gone,
two,
right? They're doing
Luke
time.
Luke chapter 2, we read
house,
that.
Right?
And when we're talking about the miracle
so
of his birth,
but
we're not
just not
talking about
the
delivery.
Between you and neighbor
all the
because
miracles
there's been
in
no
route
reconciliation.
Of the birth, all the miracles
so let's go
surround
play
the
tape a little bit further.
And so as we have these miracles about the birth of Christ, what are some of those miracles?
In court or whatever, writes you a letter and says, listen,
What are some of the miracles that surround
sober,
the birth of Christ?
I realize
not just the actual delivery, and not just the conception
so
by the Holy Spirit.
The
what
I
are some of the other miracles
and,
that surround the birth of
that
Christ?
It, you know, when and if I ever
What's
get
that?
Out of this, I am going to
the star, absolutely. The star that shone, that led the Magi
so,
there. Absolutely.
At that point, you look at
born
this,
in Bethlehem,
this,
which was,
and you go
why is that a
visit your neighbor in prison. And you begin to talk to each other, and you find out, you know,
because
where
it was foretold.
From,
that's right. It was a fulfillment of prophecy from hundreds of years before.
Absolutely.
The Messiah would be born
is there
in Bethlehem.
Peace now in that race.
And his mom was from Nazareth.
Yes,
mom and dad.
Because there was
and
reconciliation.
They had to go to Bethlehem
before
and
reconciliation.
God used the miracle
no peace.
Of the census to get them there.
After reconciliation,
yeah, what
now there's peace in the relationship. So that's just a hypothetical. It doesn't.
What's that?
I wasn't thinking.
The lineage of David. That's right. He was born
like so,
in both the mother and the
so
father.
So there's two things
the
that Jesus
brings.
So there's two
were
kinds of peace that Jesus brings. First
so
of all, he brings peace with God.
David,
in Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
This is what
not
Jesus did. This is what Adam lost.
No, probably
he lost
not
this
the
peace
drummer
with God.
Boy.
And now through the sacrifice
but, you
of Christ
know, you have,
on the cross,
you know,
we
a lot of things. The angel that came
back.
To Zechariah in the temple and said, your wife Elizabeth's got a son.
Governor Neff
he's
of Texas one time went and spoke in a prison.
Right.
And he told
and,
the inmates that after he was done speaking that he would listen to any one of them. And whatever they told him would be held in confidence.
My eyes have seen the consolation
that nothing would happen.
And then Anna,
to them,
the daughter of Phanuel,
in a negative
the tribe
way,
of Asher, comes,
regardless of what they told
and
him.
She
and so afterwards,
the child,
many men stayed
to
afterwards to speak to Governor Neff.
That this was,
and many of them came forward and said,
so you, have all
you know,
the
this whole thing, I'm in prison because I was framed.
From the east,
I don't deserve to be here. I wasn't guilty. It was all trumped up charges and everything else.
Get out of
there was one man that came forward to Governor Neff.
The boys were killed.
He said this.
And so
he said,
fled to Egypt,
I did what they said I did.
I
mean,
so there's so many of those.
But since I've been in here, I've seen the error of my ways.
And
I've
birth.
Paid
so
my
we see
debt
Jesus
to
at
society.
The cradle. But he doesn't
and
stay
I think
there.
If you can give me a second
all
chance,
these collectively
I will
make up the,
citizen.
I think, the miraculous birth of the
make
Lord Jesus
right.
Christ. But he didn't stay in
and
the cradle.
Governor Neff pardoned one person that year.
He didn't stay there.
And that was this guy.
But he came, we want to look at him now as Jesus
that he was guilty.
The cross. We know that he grew in wisdom and stature. See,
until
God
can pardon us,
and we look at Jesus on the cross. And really, as we look at the birth, we have to look at the death and the resurrection as well.
And we come to that realization, we come before God. The only difference in my story and the truth here of our situation is that
after this, Jesus, knowing that all this was finished,
right, we can't pay our debt to God.
To fulfill the scriptures,
there's nothing we do to earn it. So we come before him and say, I am
full of sour
guilty.
Wine
we are
stood
guilty.
There. So they put a sponge full of
like
sour
to make
wine
excuses.
On a hyssop branch.
They want to blame their childhood or the color of their skin or their economic situation.
And when Jesus heard, but the reality is, we are all guilty sour wine, before he said, God. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Have the opportunity,
and so as
the
we look at Jesus on the cross,
the
there's really two things
sin.
We want to focus
and
on
so
this morning.
And so we lean
there's
on the sacrifice
numerous things
of Christ
we could focus
and say,
on.
What he did,
we want to first of all focus
and
on
God says,
the power
okay,
of submission
and
obedience.
And to you.
We look at the cross,
and
we see there that there was great power there at the cross.
God offers us
and
peace.
The power that's there is the power of submission.
I was reading a book this
week called
Principles of Spiritual
Growth. They kind
of
go hand in hand.
Fantastic book.
But the scriptures bring it out.
But
in Hebrews chapter 2, he says, but we see him, that's talking about Jesus, who for a little while was made a little, was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. Why?
But it was
kind of
like that spiritually. It was like, man, I should have, why didn't I realize this?
So
the whole point was on acceptance and the fact that we don't accept God. The question is, does he accept us?
His submission
and on what basis?
Led to him.
He accepts us only on the basis of
in
Christ's
Philippians
sacrifice.
Philippians chapter 2, he goes
period.
On.
End of discussion.
Here, the
we can't
of,
say, yeah,
the
and then
Paul
after
says,
I gave my life to Christ,
have this mind among
this,
yourselves,
this. I mean,
which is yours
God,
in Christ Jesus,
he still
who
sees
through,
us through sacrifice.
Who, though he was in the
we
form of God, did not count equality
we
with God. And
we don't
grasp.
Do that.
But
we
emptied
serve
himself
God.
By taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men.
So. And that's why I can go too long on this
and being
point.
Found
so
in
he,
human
in peace
form,
with God. Let me tell you something.
Himself
it should never get old.
By becoming obedient to the point
the
of death, even death.
And the sacrifice
on a cross.
That Jesus made
for Jesus to go to the cross took great
to
humility and obedience
but
to the Father.
But then also,
remember his prayer
Jesus
in the garden?
Us,
said, Father,
peace, the peace
glorify
of God.
Your Son, that your
the
Son
peace of God.
May glorify you.
There's many passages in Hebrews here.
The whole point of the cross was actually to redeem us, obviously, but also Jesus was learning and not learning, but he was fulfilling his Father's will by going to
the writer of Hebrews is trying to contrast the Old Testament sacrificial system and how Jesus was the fulfillment of that sacrificial system.
The word perfect there means complete.
How he was the final high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was prophet, priest, and king.
And so we know in Hebrews, it
contrasting
tells us
all
of
that,
joy
it kind of comes to a culmination here in chapter 9 and 10.
Cross,
and so in chapter 9, this
so
is talking about
the birth of Jesus,
peace,
we should keep in
the
mind
peace
the cross
of God.
Of Jesus
the
well.
Difference between
and so we look at
what
the,
Jesus
the
did for us on the cross
there.
And what they
we
did with animals
see the
is
power
catastrophic.
Over death.
The difference is cataclysmic.
We
it's
see power
huge.
Over death in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. We'll
and
get
so
there.
Here the writer of Hebrews
one thinks
is trying
of the cross,
to explain it to us.
When you look at the crucifixion,
usually says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through
the
greater and more perfect
right there,
tent,
right
not made with
that's
hands,
the power over death.
That is not of this creation. He's talking about,
way,
listen, he's coming,
many people
he's
at the cross,
taking on flesh,
the cross
he's using
sad,
the tent there. That,
but it was
that
the cross
regard.
That, on
he
the
said
cross
he entered
Jesus
once
died.
For
on
all
the cross that Jesus
into the holy places.
My God,
right? He's not
my God,
talking about the holy of holies
on the cross that Jesus
in the temple
last,
or even in the tabernacle.
His spirit had died.
Holy of holies.
So how
goes,
is this
he entered in once
a
for
display
all. Why
of the power
once?
Over
so
death?
All you have to do is once.
Well,
see, the Old Testament priest, the high priest, would go in once a year. He'd go in twice.
He says,
the first
since
time he'd go in,
the
he'd
children
blood, he'd offer
share
it
in flesh
sin,
and blood, he himself
sin.
Likewise partook
and go back
of the
out,
same
and he'd get more blood, and he'd offer that up
death,
for the sins of the people.
He might destroy
the right
of
Hebrews
one
is understanding
death,
Jewish culture
and
understanding
devil,
and what's
deliver
going on
all those
in the tabernacle
through fear
and the temple, and he'd say, listen, Jesus came and he
slavery.
Entered into the heavenly holy of holies only once.
And so
he only had to go once. Why?
What the writer of Hebrews is saying is
he had no
at the cross through the death of Jesus,
have to go in once for himself.
And therefore, Satan's power over us, which was
and so he
death,
went in once,
was also
all.
Defeated.
He didn't have to go year
so
after year because
if
his
A
blood
equals
was
B
enough.
And B equals C, then A equals C.
And so
that's good math.
He goes on in the other places, not made
So not if by Jesus means of the blood of goats and cows, but Satan, means of his own blood,
thus securing an eternal redemption.
Jesus' death
For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the defiled person, the sprinkling of the defiled person by the ashes, with the ashes of a heifer is,
and so, as we look at that, Colossians
a reference
chapter 2
to the purification of the priest.
He says, and you who were dead
they would
in
offer
your trespasses
up a pure red
and
heifer,
and
take the ashes and they'd use that.
God made alive
the,
together
the
with
priest.
Him, having
therefore,
forgiven us
they were
all
then
our trespasses
sanctified to
by
where they
canceling
could go and serve
the
as
record
priests.
Of debt that stood against us
a professor in
with
college
its legal demand.
For a pure red heifer.
So there were legal demands. In other words,
remember
our sin required punishment.
You there when you're there. He's always
required,
looking for the big red heifer, right?
You know, God's
the
justice
red heifer, because when they
required
found it, they offered up
and
in
so our sin
anoint
required punishment.
Again,
Jesus' death on
the
cross met those legal demands. And then he goes on to say, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross.
So that's what they did.
He
disarmed
the
rulers and authorities
and put them to open shame by triumphing over
them. The ashes sanctify for the purification
of the flesh.
The
power
of
death, because through his death,
the blood
he canceled
of Christ,
the legal
who through
demand.
The eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify what?
And
our bodies?
Had over us.
Purify our conscience.
Through Jesus' death on the cross, the legal demand.
From dead works to serve the living God. In other words, once we truly latch on to Jesus being our final sacrifice,
so we see
he
here,
paid the price,
we see Jesus
then
at
all
the
that
cradle,
we do in service to
cross,
God is not out of guilt.
And now let's look at Jesus
it's out
with
of
the crown. When people worship
in other
Jesus,
words,
I,
our
I kinda
consciences
wonder what
are clean from the guilt, and we
when
serve
you worship
God
the Lord
with a,
Jesus,
with a pure
you sing
conscience,
songs, when you meditate and you pray,
conscience.
I wonder what you're picturing in your mind.
We
are you picturing a little baby in a manger?
Not just the peace with God, but we have
are you
this
picturing
peace
a man that
God,
walked along around the earth, and one who had power over the wind and the waves?
Jump over to chapter 10, verses 1 to 2.
Heal the leper,
since the
and
law
cast out demons,
has but a shadow of good
dead,
things
exactly
to come,
picture
instead
like
of the true
walks
form
with power and
of these realities, it can
know
never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every day, every year, make perfect
picture
those who draw near.
What we're going
to
see.
Otherwise, they would not have would they not have ceased to be offered. Since
so Revelation
the
1, we're going to be there, we're going to read
cleansed,
that,
would no
we're
longer
look at
have
it
any
we're
going to
start in
consciousness
verse,
of sin.
We're going to start verse 9.
In other words, they would say, hey, we're clean now before God.
Revelation
we don't
1
need
and
to
9.
Offer up these sacrifices anymore.
He says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom.
He says, therefore, brothers,
and the,
of chapter 10,
and the patient
therefore,
endurance
since we have confidence to enter
Jesus,
the holy places
was on the island
by the blood
Thomas,
of Jesus,
on account
by
of the word of
God
and the testimony of Jesus.
He opened
I was in the Spirit
for us
on the Lord's
the
day,
curtain,
and I heard
that is,
behind me
flesh
a loud
and
voice.
Since we have a great priest like a over the house of God.
Sounding, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum.
Is that what it says?
And to Thyatira, to Sardis,
says,
and to
no,
Philadelphia,
says, so
and
let us draw near.
Then I turn to see
with
the voice
a true
that
heart
was
and full
to me
assurance of faith.
What's he gonna say?
With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies
he's
washed
a little man
with pure water,
long hair.
He said, "Listen, because of what God has done, because of what Christ has done, we can draw near
you know,
to God."
Is that what they're
gonna
with
see?
A clean
see?
So then I turned.
Because what he's done not only cleansed us,
me,
yeah,
and I'm turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and
from dead
in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with, so, long, with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of
I
his
think
head
the world is
were
for
white like
they're
wool,
looking for this peace of
like
God. They're
wool
looking to get rid of their guilt
like
or their
snow
guilty feeling or their guilty conscience.
His eyes were like flames
now
of fire.
Now under the new covenant, we serve
were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace.
We are,
and his voice was like the roar of many waters.
Our salvation, or we're
in
not
his right hand, he held seven
God
stars. From his and from his mouth came the sharp,
heart
two-edged sword.
I think
and
this,
his face
I
was
really
like
honestly
the sun
think this
shining
is the peace the world is looking for.
In full strength.
Many people today are looking for relief.
When I saw him,
guilt,
I fell at his feet.
That they're
so,
not willing
no
to
dead
surrender to
but
the
but he laid his right
Christ
hand on me, saying,
they're not willing to go, okay,
fear not.
I give up.
I am the first,
Lord,
the last,
I'm yours.
I am the living one.
I
died, and behold,
you.
I am alive forevermore.
You know, they're not willing to give that
and
up.
I
they're not willing
the
to look at the Lordship
of
Christ.
And
so
Hades.
I think they make up excuses.
Right, therefore.
So they do what they do is they begin to compare themselves
seen
with each other.
Those that are,
they say, you know,
and those that are to
I'm
take
not
place
great,
after this.
But, you know, I'm not as bad
as for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand. And of the seven,
but, you know, I mean, whatever. I don't know what they
the
do. They begin to compare
the
themselves with other people.
The,
you know, we
the
do
seven
that. Do we do that too?
Are the seven churches?
I think we probably do.
I mean, instantly we're taken with John.
We're
transported into
the
presence
so
of God.
Better
And so there's three things we see here.
We have this
the appearance of Christ, or of him who he is, and what we'll see when we transfer. First of all, we see the sound of his voice. Notice the sound of his voice. He describes it in twofold. First of all, it's like a loud trumpet. Now, I played in the band in high school. I know if you looked at me, you never know that. But I played drums. And they always put the drums in the very back. Sometimes in the closet, you know, just because they, you know, drummers are people that hang around with musicians, right? You know, and so
how can we bring them up out of that?
But I never knew what it was like to be the ones that sat in front of the trumpeters.
But we can. The world tells they compare themselves with others. I'm not as
right.
Bad
those
as
trumpets are loud.
I think the other reason.
And so here he says
that
his voice
deal, the way they
was
deal
like
with
a trumpet.
This right? Bad conscience
it was
or
loud
you know,
voice
this
like a trumpet. You know, and so his voice was heard by everyone.
Is a minimum God minimized God existence.
Yeah,
in other words,
orchestra,
they minimize his existence and his authority
later on, he
or right to act.
Voice,
I remember one time
as his
I was spending
was like
some time with a young man
waters.
Who was doing community service. He
was, stood at
for
the
various
top
reasons,
of the
I don't even know why, but a teacher asked me, hey, would you spend some time with this guy?
Especially
can he
we
clean
went to
the
Niagara
church
Falls,
or something like that? So I was spending some time with this guy in community service,
and
I asked him. I said, so, trying to strike up conversation, I always look for that one in question, you know?
And so his voice is a voice that is going to be heard.
Go.
When Jesus speaks, it's going to be heard. When he spoke on earth,
anyway,
do you know something
so
what
I
they said
him,
about
said,
his voice when he spoke on earth? Not
what
necessarily the
God?
Sound of his voice, but remember
he
what
said,
they said in
he's
Matthew chapter
away.
7, verse 28 and 29. It says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching.
I knew
for
he
was teaching
the
them as
so the
one
day,
who had
I said
authority
him, I said, I'm thinking about
and
your,
not as a scribe.
Your idea that God or Satan doesn't exist.
Right? Jesus, when he spoke, he spoke as one
straight.
Who had authority.
So you're saying
and not as one
that God
the scribes.
And Satan
in other words,
don't
he
exist.
Wasn't apologetic about
so
what he was
saying.
So if
that's true, that
he
would
wasn't
mean
timid
that your
about
testimony
he
would be that
he
you believe
say,
the Bible
he said it clearly.
Is a book of lies.
He spoke with authority, one with
so
power.
So is that what, would you right. agree
and so
that
on,
you believe
you
the Bible is a book
of
lies?
We see the splendor of his appearance. We saw the sound of his voice.
And he's like,
now we see the splendor of his appearance.
Because you can't
I
say
just
God
want to go through it real quick.
And
his
don't
robe
exist,
speaks of his inherent righteousness.
Truth.
notice that it was,
because those,
it was
those
a full-length robe.
So which is
in other words, he was fully
well, he wasn't
righteous.
Ready. He had enough respect
and the robe
for religion
there
and the Bible
of his righteousness.
To not, he couldn't.
And then
he couldn't
notice
the Bible.
He has a golden sash
say,
around his chest.
No, he wasn't able
it's
say
important
that
the sash
so
is
just,
around his chest.
It was just one way of
because
the world's
chest
way of
there
thinking,
speaks of authority.
If I can just take God
if it was around
picture,
his waist, it would
make,
speak
like
of
God
a servant.
Exist,
but because the sash is around his chest, it speaks of his authority.
The reason people have conflict in their life is they have to deal with
we have
God.
This golden sash, and the gold there, of course, is a royal color. It's the color of a king.
I think the other way
his,
is people
his
deal
hair
with
was white like wool.
In their heart.
Speaks of wisdom and purity.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but
I don't know what that says about bald guys, but
I think they accentuate
it speaks
one
of wisdom and purity.
God over another.
His eyes were like a
in
flame
other words, they
of
say,
fire.
Listen, God is just he's a God of love.
This speaks of his penetrating insight.
You know, there's no
insight
way a God of love would send
anybody
to
knowledge. Of the total
because
life
he's a God
of the
love,
church,
which means they've elevated
right?
God as
he
love
is here,
over the fact that God
over
is
the
also
churches,
a God of justice,
and one could also say over us.
And so they say,
so
in their mind, God is just love. All he is love.
It speaks of his
but
penetrating
part of
insight,
him being love is he's
an
just
knowledge.
He has
the total
to punish
life of the
sin.
Church, Jesus sees
if he doesn't
it all,
punish sin, he's not
he knows
loving.
It all. The psalmist knew
because
that
because punishing
he said,
sin
can I
is
go
loving.
From your spirit, where can I flee
and,
from your presence?
And
if
so
I go to
they
heaven,
would
there.
Take an
if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take
God
the wings
over
of the morning
another.
And dwell
and
in
so
the uttermost part of the earth,
how people
deal even
with
it. There,
so Jesus
your
comes
hand
as the
your
great
right
reconciler.
Hand
he's reconciling
the
man
is
to
going,
himself. He's,
I can't get away from you, but it wasn't a bad
with
thing
God
in Psalm 139. It was a part of comfort to the psalmist.
So they don't walk around all day with this cloud of guilt
planet that God wasn't
like, I'm a wretched sinner.
God sees everything.
I'm horrible.
Right, the Lord Jesus
you know,
sees
we don't
it all.
Look
his
in the
feet
mirror
were like burnished
going,
bronze, refined
man,
in the furnace.
Terrible.
Bronze
you know,
in Scripture always speaks of what?
If we understand
anybody know
that
what
we
bronze
have a piece
in Scripture
of God
is always pointing us to?
So he is the reconciler. Well, secondly, he's the rectifier. You thought I was just about done, didn't you?
Anybody know? Did anybody?
You
did you guys ever get into
point
all the different colors? What
but
they
he's
mean
the rectifier.
In blue,
so God not only
and,
wants to bring peace
you know,
between
gold,
us
and
him,
and
but he also wants to bring peace between us and you.
I need to do
each
that
other
on Sunday night, don't I?
He wants to bring peace
it's
between
not
men.
bronze.
And so he
always
is the rectifier. Hebrews chapter 12, we're already there.
Bronze is always judgment.
I actually have it on the board too. Here. Hebrews chapter 12, he says this, strive for peace with everyone.
Yeah, bronze always speaks of judgment.
For the holiness.
Whenever you see bronze, you have the bronze altar.
See the Lord.
Which where you offer the sacrifice.
So he says, strive for peace.
Labor of washing. And so
anyway,
it always speaks of judgment. And so his feet were like burnished bronze refined in the furnace. Bronze in Scripture
our
speaks
natural
of judgment.
Man
Hebrews 1:13 says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
At the cost of anybody
therefore,
else.
If you're under his foot, you're under
our
his
way,
judgment.
And that's it. And, you know, fooey on you
that's
if you don't see it my way. You know,
his voice was like the roar of many waters.
And so he writer of Hebrews says, no.
His mouth, out of his mouth came
peace.
A sharp two-edged sword.
It would be really good if he was the only one
and
this was the only verse, because then we could write it off as something else.
Later on in Revelation 19, when he comes as the rider
on
the white
horse, Psalm 34, 12-14, he says, what man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?
When he's listing the
keep
armor
your tongue
of God,
from evil,
he talks
and your
about
lips
the sword of the Spirit, which
deceit.
Is the Word of God.
Turn away
see,
from evil.
The sword that comes out of his mouth
good,
is his Word.
Seek peace
and pursue.
He
uses his Word to strike down the nation.
Notice how the psalmist
and
ties
his face
in,
like the sun shining
how we
in full
speak.
Strength. Do you love that? Shining in full strength. How many of us can actually go out on,
talks
on
about
a sunny
how we talk
day
about people,
it's full strength,
what our
and
speech
look
is like,
directly at the sun.
And whether we have peace with men. He said, listen, keep your
it.
Lips from speaking evil and
yet
pursue
that's
peace.
Like the face of Jesus.
I don't think we could pursue
we're
peace
need
if we don't
new
keep
eyes.
Our lips from speaking evil.
We're going to need
Psalmist
different
makes
eyes
a correlation
to look at the face of Jesus.
Between how we talk and
his
pursuing
face
peace.
To us
listen,
is,
we can't be
like
at peace
the sun shining
with
in
our
full
neighbors
strength.
If
see,
we're
it was
talking
this
down
appearance of the Lord
store.
Jesus that blinded
or,
the Apostle Paul.
In the rest of the neighborhood or whatever. We can't have peace. In our
so when
church,
we picture the Lord Jesus, when we worship him as a babe being born in the manger,
about that person
let's also remember that,
that
he was the Christ dying
we can't have
on
peace
cross.
And harmony in this,
putting an
you know,
end
if
to
all we're doing is talking to, if we talk to other people about how that person
who,
ticks you off or makes you mad or something
is,
like that,
shines
that's
with great
not bringing
brilliance.
Peace.
And so that's him. That's his appearance.
Romans chapter 12.
And then we see the security
he says
of his
this.
Position.
We pay no one evil for evil, but give
appearance
thought
and the security
to do what is honorable in the sight
notice
of all.
Verse 17
if possible,
and 18,
so far as it depends
him,
on you, live peaceably with all men. Notice it, as far
right
as it depends
on
you.
Saying, if you're not.
In other words,
for I am what?
You know, whoever you're not at peace with, they may be a
world-class
jerk.
He says, I'm the first.
But if it's possible to have peace with them,
I'm the living one. I died, and behold,
words,
I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys
that's
of death
a loose translation?
And Hades. That's
I
authority.
I think it's maybe a paraphrase.
That is his position.
But he goes
right
on.
Now.
He says,
he
beloved,
was, the alpha
never
the
avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath
last.
Of God, for it is written,
there's
vengeance
no one before
is mine,
him,
I will
be no one after
the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, the motivation
dead, and now I'm
for doing something good
I
to your enemy
keys,
is not to heap burning
keys.
Coals on his head. That's not the motivation, like, oh, this will really
death
get
no
to
longer
him.
Has a sting
treat
on
kindness, right? No. We treat him with kindness because we want them to see Christ in us.
And death has been
and we want that eventually to be an open door to lead
so
them
we see
to
Jesus
faith
here.
In Christ.
Yeah, in the cradle,
right? And so,
at the cross,
we want to do that.
And
so
with
we,
the crown
you know,
of authority.
Can do that. So the question then is, how do we do this?
Well,
how do we
are there
live
any
at peace
or
with all men?
Or questions?
How do we do that? It's not easy. First of all, we'll go through these fairly quickly. In Matthew chapter 5, we're
to
pray for them.
Really
he says this in Matthew
Jesus
5. He says,
really
you have heard that it is
off.
Said, you shall love your neighbor and
week.
Hate your enemy. By the way,
you
know, notice Jesus didn't
Christmas
say it is written.
Let me just challenge you to really take
he said,
some
you've
time
heard that it's been said. In other words, this is
Jesus
tradition that was
worship.
Passed down through the rabbis over the years. They take what God's word said and they put their own little twist on it.
He
said it was okay for you
cross,
to hate your enemies.
Now he rules forevermore.
That's what they did. So you've heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Pray
for those who persecute
you.
So if you have somebody who's just an outright persecutor of
you,
in other words, all they do is they make your life hard.
Thank you that we will one day get new bodies.
Bring them before
the throne of God. Bodies that won't wear out, won't get old. And new bodies
and don't pray, God, get them.
Yeah,
that's kind of not right.
Right now,
you want to say, God, I just ask that you would bless
thank
them.
Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank
if,
you.
If
for,
there was a way
for,
that you could allow them to see Christ in me. If you could open up a door, if you could melt their heart to where you could draw them to yourself.
Shedding your blood.
That'd be great.
To defeat death in our lives.
So we pray for them. We give thanks to God for them, recognizing the sovereignty of God and putting them in our lives.
We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
So how else do? We pray for them. Well, we avoid useless chatter about them. Talk about our enemies, anybody we don't have peace with. We avoid useless chatter about them. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, he says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So, not only do you pray for them, but you avoid this useless chatter about them. If you walk into a discussion and someone is talking about that person, you go, yeah, I don't really want to even talk about that. So he says when Paul is talking about having wisdom toward outsiders, he's not talking about people who live in the lower 48, by the way. He's talking about those outside the church. It doesn't do any good to pray for someone 1 minute and then be talking them down the next. Seems like those would be in conflict. Well, the third one is take time to see things from their perspective. Whew, this is not easy, is it? Especially when you're right all the time, It's just so hard, when you're right all the time to try to see somebody else's wrong opinion, It's just, and I'm being sarcastic there, please understand. The idea is to try to look at things from their perspective. And that's not easy to do. Peter tells us to do that in 1 Peter 3:8. Says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and tender heart, and a humble mind. In other words, he said, have unity of mind. Doesn't mean you're all going to have the same thoughts or have the same opinions about everything, but that doesn't mean that your opinion is better than someone else's. Unless, of course, yours is based on Scripture and theirs is not, then it's kind of hard. Then it's not an opinion, it's fact and it's an absolute. But if it's just an opinion, hey, your opinion may be okay too. You may think the Broncos are a great football team, You're entitled to that wrong opinion. It's up to you. There may be some of us who maybe choose a different team. And so in that, we can all go, you know what? It's just everybody has their own preferences or whatever. You may like skim milk, I may like whole milk, whatever. But we have to have a unity of mind. And that's what the Scriptures get to. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, really the whole chapter in 2 is really good. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And so you're looking not just thinking of yourself only, but you're thinking of other people and what they might be interested in. And so we're to consider others, he tells us in that other passage, in that same passage, as better than ourselves. Wow, that's tough. Well, and then Jesus is a rectifier in that he would have us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what Paul says in Galatians. He says, but I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In other words, if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill this desire to talk someone down, to make yourself look better, right? Or run them to the ground, or how we treat them. We're going to treat them differently if we're walking in the Spirit. We won't fulfill that desire that we have in the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. In other words, your flesh wants to do this. I really want to knock his lights out, but I'm not going to do that because that wouldn't be right. He goes on, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Seems like that covers just about everything. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So he's a rectifier. He wants us to live in peace with all men. And how do we do that? We pray for them. We avoid useless chatter about them. We take time to see things from their perspective, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So he is the reconciler. He is the rectifier. And then lastly, he is the ruler. He is the ruler. Isaiah 9:7 says this. He says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." He is the ruler. Like I said, there will not ever be pure peace in the world today without, or in the world, until the Lord Jesus comes again. He is the ruler. He is the reconciler. He reconciles us to himself. He gives us the peace with him and the peace of God. And he is also the rectifier. He's the one that comes into relationships and he rectifies those relationships so that we can pray for our enemies, those that despitefully use us. We can avoid useless chatter about them. We can take time to see things from their perspective and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then one day he's coming again to rule and to reign here on earth. And when he rules and reigns, there will be peace because he's ruling with a rod of iron. In other words, he's not going to put up with any lack of peace. Let me ask you something. Do you know this Prince of Peace? Do you have a personal relationship with this Prince of Peace? If you do, then you understand what I've been talking about. Maybe this morning you thought, wow, I really want that peace. I really want to be reconciled with God. Let me tell you, it's possible. The Lord Jesus came, we celebrate his birth, but he came to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin. So the price has been paid. It's up to you to surrender to him. It's up to you to say yes to the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. You are the ruler of peace. You are the head of peace. That you bring it through reconciliation, through the cross. You paid the price. You took the wrath of God on yourself so that we don't have to. Thank you, Lord, for being our Prince of Peace. Lord, help us to strive to live at peace with all men. That's so hard because our flesh wants to rise up and be self-centered and we want to be offended or whatever. Lord, help us to live at peace with all men as much as that is within us. Help us to pray for our enemies. Help us to pray for those who despitefully use us. Lord, help us to reach out to those who have yielded to the entrapment of sin and are paying a heavy price for it. Help us to see people through your eyes, Lord, as you see them. And Lord, help us to have a perspective that help us to be able to see other people's from their perspective as well. Lord, thank you for the fact that you are coming again and you will rule and reign on this earth and then there'll be full peace. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The sound that saved a wretch like me.